For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's O'Neill Outside on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Boys and girls from Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio, high in the mountains of North Georgia, O'Neill Outside presents Real Tree Radio. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. We have a lot of things to do, and we hope you'll join us. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. We're on WSB, AM, and FM, and the Sports Broadcast Nation all across the country, from California to Washington to Philadelphia, New York, St. Louis, and throughout Texas. And we are, this is, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world, and you made it that way with your calls. At 7 after the hour, we'll have the Ram Fishing Report, the Silent Hero Award or account, the Medal of Honor tribute, and your calls throughout this hour. And so it's my privilege to invite you to watch O'Neill Outside Television. You can see it on the several Fox Sports networks and the Pursuit Channel, and all of the programs at O'NeillOutside.com and YouTube. You can see all the shows right there. And if you go to O'Neill Outside website, you can do two things there, among others. You'll see my new book. It's called O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, 65 Years in the Outdoors. And you can order there on Amazon an ebook or a printed version, and take a look. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. It's an observations, an observation, and observations of the people and places that I've met and visited along the way, 65 years in the outdoors. This program is brought to you every Saturday morning by Tough Shed, Striplings, Horsetown, Whitetail Institute, Realtree Camo, Hayes, Fire Aid, Timbuktu Outdoors, and Cherokee County Toyota. As a matter of fact, I need to tell you, go to Cherokee County Toyota or any of the Horsetown stores locally spread out around Georgia, and there's an O'Neill, a signed O'Neill Outside hat there for you. It's free. You don't have to buy anything. Welcome back. 12 after the hour. This is O'Neill, and one of the things that I wanted to mentioned to you today about the program O'Neill Outside Television this week. We're at Buchanan Shoals, I think we are, Buchanan Shoals in North Carolina on a quail hunt. And there's certainly more to it than, you know, following the dogs and shooting some birds and all that. It's a very social occasion. But that program, if you watch it today, I want you to know that was a Muscular Dystrophy Association fundraiser. Those guys and their companies paid or donated to Muscular Dystrophy for children to go to a summer camp. They got to go hunting. O'Neill did a show there, and Muscular Dystrophy got $16,000. I love that, don't you? It's not just a bunch of guys out hunting or fishing. You're really producing something, and I like that very much. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. It's always better if you produce something. This week, I got to go to the Governor's Gun Club. I know there's some advertising on the show about the Governor's Gun Club, but I got to tell you, if you live in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, the Carolinas, look up and visit the Governor's Gun Club. And what's so special about it? Well, here's one thing that's special about it that makes it fun. It's a family visit. It's because the skeet, trap, and five stand is indoors. It can be raining and cold outside, but the skeet hunt and five stand, skeet, trap, and five stand, is inside the building. It is a fabulous destination for your family in the shooting sports category. I think there are 30-some pistol ranges, three long-range hunting yard, 100-yard sight-in and practice for your rifle, a terrific five-star restaurant, and so on. All right, enough about that. Here's our, it's time for it, by golly, so I'm glad he called. It's time for the MacFar Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing really good.
All right. You sound a lot of weight, ready to go, as always.
Are you?
Yep.
You're going to get wet today, aren't you?
The rain suit's going to get a lot better workout than I want it to.
Okay.
That's the rate we're going. But anyway, it is what it is, right? At least it's warm.
Yeah. So,
could be cold and wet. So we'll do that later on this year, I'm sure.
But for now,
if you're willing to dodge some storms, which might have to wait a couple of these out, everybody be careful out there. But fishing's been very typical summer fishing. Think deep, 50, 60 feet, maybe deeper. Patterns are pretty, very normal. A lot of guys trolling umbrellas. For some reason, the one anomaly I'm seeing now, usually when we're this late in the summer, we do better trolling leg, single jigs on lead core line. And that's not been the case. The umbrella is the better producer so far. So if you're going to troll with your umbrellas, you have to get them way back there. If you're pulling our big umbrella, the 3-ounce 9-bait rig, you have to fish it about 150, 160 feet behind the boat.
Mm-hmm.
To get the depth you need. But that's been good. And then, of course, live herring on a downline has been excellent. And a lot of guys troll to find them and drop the downlines. And look, they're over creek channels or drains coming into creek channels. And later in the day, we're starting to see some fish get out over the river channel. So typical July stuff. Good fishing.
Good. I thought of you this week, Mac. I don't know whether I mentioned it last week or not, but I will now. During my visit to ICAST, I went to Nichols Lures booth, and they had those giant spoons.
Everybody, I'll have one tied on right now.
Good. People, until it happens for you, people aren't going to believe that a fish is going to bite that.
No, they look at it. It's physically, it is big. It's an 8-inch bait. It weighs 3.5 ounces. But, and people are there to some degree intimidated by it. But if you look at the average blueback herring you're putting on the hook, he's probably 5 or 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing in the spring to see guys fishing a 14-inch trout or a 12-inch trout or a 12-inch mm-hmm. gizzard shad. And we've all seen fish that weigh 4 or 5 pounds eat those big gizzard shad. So if you put it into context, it's really not that big. I think it's just when you look at that compared to everything else that's on the shelf, it's a little bit overwhelming. But it's it's bigger than everything else we fish, but it's very effective. Like I said, I would have one tied on.
You bet. Well, I thought of you when I saw that. So we'll be using that this summer, right?
Absolutely. We're going to use it right here in a minute.
Won't take long, huh?
Yeah, as soon as we can get the ram to the lake, get the boat in the water, we'll have one. We'll get one stuck in there.
Okay. This time of year, you're seeing a big change from spring to summer, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, we're full-on summer fishing. Now, water temperatures in the mid to upper 80s, depending on the lake. Very mm-hmm. normal for this time of year. That pushes everybody down there deep. And we talked about this some last week. I'm not catching a lot of fish really, really deep yet. I expect that'll happen this week. But really, really deep, I'm talking on the near, 80 to 100 feet. And of course, it depends on the reservoir, but that's pretty typical. You know, if you go to Oconee, maybe you're not going to see fish that deep because the lake's just not as deep. The median depth there is somewhat shallower.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rule out. Deep fish will bite. So if you see fish down, if you're on the near, you're on Hartwell, or you're on Smith Mountain Lake, or Smith Lake over in Alabama, you see fish 68, 90 feet, he's catchable. He's not a bite. Just because he's that deep, but because he's that deep doesn't mean he won't bite. So don't rule him out.
Well, Great report as usual. So hook up that round truck and go to the lake.
Yeah, I might sit in a little extra way from the train and get past this place.
I'm glad you called, Mac.
Have a good weekend. Everybody be safe. Catch fish.
You bet. I'll see you soon, pal.
Thanks.
There you go. I always get a great report from Mac. And the things that Mac mentions in his tips and recommendations aren't, even though he's been a guide on Lake Lanier now for 38 years, the fish don't know where they live. So when he's talking about fish catching stripers at 60 and 70 and 80 feet at Lanier, then you can do the same thing at Hartwell and Smith Lake in Virginia and Cherokee and Douglas and all those lakes in East Tennessee. Fish don't know where they live. They go by the water temperature, the acidity, and the amount of bait and what kind the bait are. Figure it out. In the summertime, they're deep. Everything is, except maybe early in the morning. But that's just an anomaly, and you really have to be an angler for that. Okay, it's 20 minutes after the hour. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. You probably missed Woman Williams this morning, so she decided to sleep in. We've had a full week the last few weeks, so getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and not going back until sleep a little while at 7, it kind of changes your outlook for the weekend from time to time. So we let Woman Williams have the day off this time. We have upcoming the Silent Hero Award, the description. I keep saying award, Silent Hero description, and the Medal of Honor tribute, and so many things, including, of course, your calls. We had some fabulous calls already from a funny call from Milton Crabapple, and we have more hunting tips. Have I got time for one right now? I really don't, but I'll have some more hunting tips that we take from the television show, and we'll talk about those. Have you put in a food plot yet? Increase your deer herd, their health. The fact that they stick around where you want them to be by putting in a food plot. That is the thing to use, and the most effective way to start is for you to telephone the Whitetail Institute, and you'll speak to a live person, and you tell him where you live, and he will tell you how to put in a first-class food plot. This is O'Neill with Realtree.
One night. If you think that it ain't feeling right. But
all right, it's time for the Silent Hero account. So with the
and now, it's time for the
go.
Ronnie Thames Silent Hero Foundation Award, brought to you by Fire Aid.
Captain Darren Peterson and Eric Watkins jumped into action after an 18-year-old and a 4-year-old were struck by lightning. July the 6th, 2018, Sheridan, Illinois. A fire captain and a paramedic are credited with saving the lives of two lightning strike victims on the 4th of July at St. Charles Captain Fire Department. Darren Peterson, he was in his car at the 4th of July celebration with his wife, watching a fireworks show when he saw a lightning bolt hit a tree. He said, "I felt the shock and knew someone had to be injured." Peterson jumped into action and found an 18-year-old male in cardiac arrest after having been struck by lightning. Peterson began performing CPR on the teen, and Plainfield Fire Protection District paramedic Eric Watkins, who had also been at the celebration and had seen the lightning bolt from his vehicle, was soon by his side. While treating the victim, the responders discovered that a 4-year-old had also been struck. "It was surreal," Watkins said. "That's the type of call that nobody wants to be on." Peterson ran to help the child, while Watkins continued treating the teen, and both said they were just doing what they were trained to do. What a surprise. We're not heroes, Peterson said. We're everyday citizens who, every third day, wear a blue suit that says we do this. But that doesn't mean we don't do this on our days off also. This could happen at any time, at any point in your life. You could run across someone who needs your help. Silent heroes that most of the time you wouldn't know about unless it's on radio and something of that nature. Brought to you by the Ronnie Thames Foundation. Makes money for child burn victims, which gives me the opportunity to tell you that when you purchase the O'Neill Outside People and Places Along the Way on Amazon and soon via my website, that you, every book that you buy, an e-version or the printed version, and soon the Audible, $1 of every price goes to the Ronnie Thames Foundation for the treatment of child burn victims. Okay, 28 minutes after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Across the country, SB Nation, WSB AM and FM, and an audience. You know there's over a million people listening right now, and we're not doing much with Facebook this morning because Gail's not here, but ordinarily you'll be able to watch it on Facebook, and likely the Facebook will be repeated during the day, and it won't be very long, I don't think, that the O'Neill Outside televised radio show will be on some of the sports networks. So, there you are. What else did I have to tell you about this morning? I have to look at my list. I'm sorry. It's 29 after the hour. Silent Hero, radio prize package. Oh, before school starts, if it hasn't already, I'm going to tell you about it. If you live in Georgia or you're traveling through Georgia, at Perry, Georgia, P-E-R-R-Y, Perry, Georgia, Center. And that is one of the premier educational centers about fishing and fish and other game animals anywhere in the Southeast. The Go Fish Center. And it's worth it for you to plan on stopping at the Go Fish Center in Perry, Georgia, and you can find out all about it on the internet. Your children there and plan on spending an hour or two. It's a huge first class. The Department of Natural Resources, Georgia State Tourism, the Wildlife Resources Division, and so forth. It's quite a destination for you to visit. The Go Fish Center in Perry, Georgia. We've been talking about off of the television show, things that we do on the television show, that being O'Neill Outside with Travis Johnson. Homepage, and one of the things you can do by going to O'Neill Outside is you can watch all the television shows there, either on the website or on YouTube. You just look up O'Neill Outside. Matter of fact, you can see shows there now on YouTube before they're even on television. Well, if you want to do that. That's when I watch the show. I don't watch the show on television. I watch it on YouTube because that's easy to get to. And I watch it on the website. But if you go to the Southern Grind Knife Giveaway. Zach Brown's Southern Grind Knife. And what we do is we'll give if we use a comment on the show, we'll give away a knife, or Zach will, if we use your comment on the television show. Samples of what people write in from time to time. They write in a lot. We have hundreds and hundreds of them. But we will, the Zach Brown knife. And this was one from Michelle Croy from Redding, California. And she says, I was wondering what your advice would be to a young teen who's looking towards his... You won't be surprised at my answer, I think. The more you know, the more the teen studies about the white-tailed deer, his habits, what he eats, how he sleeps, when does he breed, what's the parts of the white-tailed deer about that will help him being a hunter. How does the deer see? How does he hear? Okay. What are his senses? How can you tell by looking at him whether he's an old deer or a young deer? The more the teen knows about the animal and the place that he's hunting, the better he can enjoy it and the more productive he's likely to be. For instance, here's one of those things. A white-tailed deer really can't hear any better than you and I can. But he has directional hearing. He can move his ears and cup them. If you will cup your ears and point them in a certain direction, it helps gather the sound. That's what he does. He gathers the sound. That's why he can hear. And, of course, he is a prey animal. He's not a predator. So his eyes are out on the side of his head. He has monocular vision almost completely. That's why you see so often you'll see a white-tailed deer hung up in a fence. And if you watch him cross a fence, he's never on the run when he tries to jump over it. He can't see depth. He has to come right up to the fence and jump over it. He can't see depth. And that's when you know that if he's just a few yards back into the woods to the deer looks like a wall of green. He doesn't see deep into the woods because he has monocular vision. We have binocular vision. We see almost the same thing with both eyes, almost. So that's the see, the more the teen knows, the more you know about the deer, whether it's a hog, a deer, an antelope, whatever the case may be, the more effective and more enjoyable you can be during the hunt. One of the things that I on the show, I thought this was interesting. Last week on Oni, Nevis was hunting a pronghorn antelope. But unless what I read is incorrect, the pronghorn antelope is not an antelope. The pronghorn antelope is a goat. Aromatic sounding when you hunt one, if he's a goat, is it? And the most interesting thing I found out about all of you to read more and know more, the closest animal to the pronghorn goat or antelope here in North America, the closest family member to him is a giraffe. What a surprise. The pronghorn goat is most closest relative is a giraffe. Science and animals are most interesting, don't you think? And so that gives me the opportunity to tell you, to recommend to you, and you can listen to know more. You will enjoy more. Hunt, there's a great deal more to hunting than a four-wheeler and getting in the stand. Okay, upon our return, we will have the Medal of Honor tribute. And this is a... And when we come back, we will have that. The greatest part of O'Neill Outside, the Medal of Honor tribute. And it's time for the Medal of Honor tribute. Listen up.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Captain Paul Buca, Captain, U.S. Army, Vietnam, March 1968. Buca's company was inserted by helicopter into a suspected enemy stronghold. During this period, Captain Buca led his men into the destruction of the fortifications. Engaged with an estimated battalion-sized force, Captain Buca, with complete disregard for his own safety, moved to direct the defense. Seeing that his men were pinned down by heavy machine gun fire from a concealed bunker some 40 yards to the front of the positions, Buca crawled through the hail of fire to single-handedly destroy the bunker with grenades. Captain Buca then remained and covered the withdrawal using flashlights in complete view of enemy snipers. He did of three air ambulance loads of seriously wounded personnel. At daybreak, this went on all night now, at daybreak, Captain Buca led a rescue party to recover the dead and wounded members of the company. During the period of intensive combat, Captain Buca led his extraordinary heroism, led his company in the decimation of 156 enemy dead on the battlefield. His bravery and gallantry at the risk of his own life are in the highest traditions of the military service. Captain Buca has reflected great credit on himself, his unit, and the U.S. Army, and Captain Buca is still alive. The Medal of Honor recipient, Captain William Paul Buca, Vietnam, 1968. Okay, 42 after the hour. Let's talk now to Richard. He's got a call coming in from West Virginia on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Richard.
Howdy doody, O'Neill.
Hey, good. Good to hear from you, sir.
I'm going to ask you this. I thought for sure, I might have heard this wrong, but I thought for sure that you told me when you're fishing, you can always catch more fish on artificial than you can live. Did you say that?
I did that if you're a skilled angler, and the reason is that you catch more on artificials is you'll cover more territory and present imitation to more fish.
Oh, okay, because I would just listen to a local host. He just does a regular local show. It's not an outdoor show. But he was just talking to his co-host about fishing for some reason, and he was telling him, well, the bottom line is he was fishing in the creek, and they were fishing for trout, is what he was saying. That's the best day fishing is, you go fishing for trout. And he said, then the person who was with him said, what kind of bait are you supposed to use, live or artificial? He says, you always use live because the chances of catching something with a minnow or a nightcrawler are much greater than it is using artificial. And I don't know, I just wonder what you thought about it.
Well, that could be if you make that presentation of that live bait in the correct size, which is a great determining factor, to that fish, that particular fish or that particular school of fish. The artificial bait allows you to cover more territory faster and present the bait to more fish. That's why bass fishing competition is only with artificials. Interesting.
Okay, with bass fishing, he was talking about trout, so it makes a difference whether it's the different species of fish makes a difference whether you use live or artificial?
Quite sometimes. I know that, a trout, a rainbow, a brookie, a brown trout in a stream usually feeds on things that are so tiny. That's why you have to use a fly rod. You're fishing with baits the size of ants. You're fishing with baits that aren't a quarter of an. There's no such thing as a live bait that's that size.
Well, he was talking about using night crawlers and minnows.
Yeah, well,
that's not small bait.
That's not a small bait at all. And the other contributing factor is in the stream, the territory is very limited. Okay, if you're bass, striper, or other walleye, northern pike, you have a lake of thousands and thousands of acres. If you're fishing for trout in a stream, then it's right in front of you or not at all. You know, everybody has their own opinion, but for my money, you'll catch more fish on artificials because the opportunity to present the bait is 1,000 times more than the 1 or 2 or 3 fish in a trout stream. But whatever gets you into the stream, whatever you put on the end of your line, whatever you're using, is just go. Just do it. Just try it. And sometimes we outthink ourselves from time to time.
All right. Thank you, Neil.
You bet. Appreciate you listening to the show, Richard. You bet. There you go. Richard's always, Richard calls from West Virginia, part of the SB Nation. He listens to the show on the SB Radio Network. 126 stations across the country. 46 after the hour, 404-872-0758, 972-8255. It's summertime. You know, I just noticed that I was talking with someone this week. I think in parts of Georgia, in some of the counties in Georgia, the kids go back to school in a couple of weeks. The kids go back to school the 1st of August. If I'm remembering correctly, when little O'Neill was in school, grade school, grammar school, high school, I don't think we went back to school till Labor Day or somewhere around in there, about September. I really got in some good fishing in the summertime before I had to go to work. I worked from 16 years old. I worked as an extra man on the dock at a trucking company, Roadway Express Trucking Company. I guess they were nationwide, and they may still be. But I was very, very fortunate when working on the dock. And I learned hard work, and I learned that I didn't want to do that the rest of my life. So that paid for college. That paid for me to go to Emory University. I was very, very fortunate. Everybody doesn't have the opportunity to take part in such a thing. And I'm extremely lucky that I did get to do that. And it relegated me to being on a fishing show, for God's sake, and a radio program, I guess. So it's raining here. In North Georgia and across the southeast, it's raining now, and it's going to be raining over the next couple of 3 days. That's good. We can use that. It certainly freshens everything up. And I know an awful lot of guys. I was talking to the guys at the Whitetail Institute, and man, the food plot business is food plots activity is. Throughout the month of August, it's unbelievable. The ability with the farm equipment, the Furminator, the farm equipment, the seeds, the programs, to put in a food plot instead of putting out a row of corn or a corn feeder, put in a food plot instead. Oh, my goodness. The effectiveness is off the chart. And, of course, too, it benefits non-game animals also. It does. Non-game animals use the food plot. And the professional people like Whitetail Institute, for instance, and so many others, the food plots are a mix, a specially designed mix of seeds that give you a mix of plants that will grow year and year and year. The annual, they're perennials. You don't have to put in a food plot every year. You can put it in once, and it'll last from 3 to 5 years. But it's a mix of seeds when the food plots, and we're all getting very sophisticated with it, that part of the seeds will mature first, which are available to be eaten, and then the next come in maturity, and they're ready to be eaten. And then the next plant seed matures, and it's ready to be eaten. So the food plot lasts year round. Interesting, huh? In the case of the Whitetail Institute, you may not know this. The Whitetail Institute developed or discovered their seeds when Ray Scott was in Canada, I think the story goes. And he was hunting in Canada, hunting over a food plot in Canada. And he noticed that the deer came out and consumed one set in the other part of the food plot. And so he inquired for his host, what seeds are those? And he told him what seeds they were. He collected some of those seeds, and this was in the 1980s. He brought those seeds back to Alabama, to a little town called Pentlala, Alabama. This is Ray Scott of Bassmaster fame. And that was the beginning of the Whitetail Institute and their food plots. Food plots add to the hunt, both game and non-game. And they're infinitely more of long-term value to me, it's my opinion, than putting in a corn feeder. You do what you want. It's your land. It's your lease. You do what you want. That's just O'Neill's opinion. Boy, we're in the midst of a storm here, so if I lose you for any reason, you know why. I hadn't gone off and committed Harry Carey. It is, we're right in the middle of a fabulous storm up here. Don't you love that? If at my age, I'm getting so that I place great attention on the more details of nature, the animals, so forth. It's such a terrific. Here's a great demonstration I'll tell you about. Gail and I got a crow caller, a baby crow in distress caller. And we were out on the deck one afternoon in the springtime, and we turned this on. Crows came from every direction. There must have been 50 or 60 crows diving and flying by and investigating and calling to each other. The next day, I got the crow caller out again and turned it on. One crow flew by. They recognized already that it was a fake. So the crow is a smart critter. It's almost 54 after the hour. We've had a great show so far. I hope you have. You deem it so. And we've got to go to a break now at 54. And then just a little bit more of O'Neill Outside headed your way. Well, how did the show treat you this morning? You've been listening to O'Neill Outside Saturday mornings on WSB and the SB Nation Radio all across the country, all across the world on iPads and iPhones and computers and on and on and on, and some guy driving his pickup across Alabama. We do try to produce something on Saturday mornings that will benefit you, not maybe just get you a laugh or so, but maybe some reminders, if you will, about what the outdoors really represents. I hope that you've planned, maybe before school starts, to take a kid fishing. Teach them about the outdoors. You don't have to go to have an outdoor experience with youngsters. You do not have to go fishing. You do not have to go anything. Just take a walk in the woods, and the point being, when you're there, stop and be quiet. And you'll be surprised at how the woods will wake up around you. So, be sure to join us next week. We'll have the same show, different silent hero accounts, different Medal of Honor descriptions, and different calls, and maybe a funny call from Milton Crabapple. We'll hear from Mac Farr and Henry Cowan, and from you, I hope, next year. Next week, maybe Woman Williams will be back. So this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world, and it's because we have had followers like you all these many years. We still love doing it, and I hope you still love listening to it. More education, more outdoors, more fun, and more encouragement. Next year, this is O'Neill, and you keep this in mind. Men are colored by the dye in their imagination. We'll see you next week.
It's moonlight through the pines.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station. This is Atlanta's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. News 95.5.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.